Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group. Good morning, everyone. Our program today was presented first by Teresa and David on behalf of the Share International Group in Wellington. So we present part two in our series of UFOs and their spiritual mission. Our first article is sourced from the April 2011 edition of Share International magazine, and it's titled The Friendship Case, Space Brothers Teach Lessons of Brotherhood, written by Jared Artson. Around the same time that George Adamski was openly establishing, on the advice of his space contacts, the International Get Acquainted program, or GAP, to foster greater understanding and friendship between people worldwide who were interested in the UFO phenomena, the Space Brothers themselves were setting up similar efforts, albeit less publicly, in many countries around the world. A large-scale and inspiring example of this came to light in Italy, where a considerable number of space people who were living and working in underground bases had regular contact with dozens, if not hundreds, of Italians. According to the recent documentary, The Friendship Case, or Il Caso Amicizia, similar projects were going on in other European countries and in Siberia, South America and Australia at the same time.
Not long before his death, the prominent Italian psychologist and theologian Bruno Sammartino decided to disclose his experience with a group of space people, which started in 1956 and continued into the late 1970s. While this case, and especially the information coming from the Space Brothers, show many striking parallels with the information coming from other contactees, it differs in that the humans involved were not taken aboard spacecraft, but rather given access to underground and underwater bases. Professor Sammartino, who held 4 university degrees and was nominated by UNESCO as Man of the Year in 1982, had previously had extensive experiences in paranormal phenomena and had met many masters from the East. In April 1956, Sammartino, who lived in Pescara, Abruzzo, Italy, and 2 of his friends, Giancarlo, an accountant, and Giulio, an engineer, had a strange experience. They were studying a map of Ascoli Piceno, northwest of Pescara, with regards to possible treasure hidden in the castle there, when suddenly a pen flew out of his pen holder and landed on the map. When they took out a piece of paper, the pen wrote, "Now I'm going to explain to you who I am, where I come from, and what I want to ask you. I am here to give you of our goodness and knowledge." All the while, the 3 were experiencing a strange beneficent sensation. A few days later, they went back to the castle in Ascoli Piceno, where they heard a voice say, "Now, my friends, stay calm, because I am going to have one of us appear. Are you ready or aren't you?" As they met their space friends for the first time, they felt an intense emotion while first one and then a second person appeared from behind the wall. One of the two men, both of whom spoke Italian, was over 2.5 meters tall, while the other was no more than a meter in height.
Bruno Samosisi's fascinating account of what was to be a long-term and large-scale contact with the space people was recently documented by the author Stefano Breccia, who included it in his book Mass Contacts, first published in Italian in 2006. Samosisi's story gives many details and captures brilliantly not only the different characters of some of the people involved, but also the sense of humour displayed by the Space Brothers. One unintentionally amusing episode describes when D'Impietro, a 3-meter-tall extraterrestrial, commonly referred to by friends as the Poplar, decided it was time to introduce himself to Samosisi's wife, Raffaella. When she came home, she found D'Impietro sitting on the kitchen floor of their flat in Milan because he didn't want to scare her with his height. Unfortunately, when she saw the human poplar in her kitchen, she was so frightened she fled into the bedroom and remained there until her husband returned. D'Impietro was the commander of the largest base in central eastern Italy, while there were smaller bases below Lake Como near Milan, in Bologna, in Rome, in Pescara, in Pineto, and elsewhere.
On their first encounter, the friends were told, "This is a critical time in human history. We are not here to conquer because there is nothing to conquer. We have been on Earth for many centuries, living in secret bases around the planet." And in response to concerns about their strongly ethical perspective on life compared to that of humans, they have this to say: "Our goodness and truth will be stronger than human doubts." While author Stefan Breccia was an engineer who admits he was more interested in the technology of the space people, Samosisi's interest was in their philosophy and ethics. The Space Brothers, who contacted him and his friends, actively worked to foster a sense of friendship and shared responsibility by going through the roundabout process of eliciting the group's help in procuring food, fruits, and even materials which they could have clearly resourced in less conventional ways if they even needed them at all. Sometimes the friends were reimbursed for the cost of the goods, but it was regularly left up to them to furnish the required funds. As the Space Brothers taught the group, love in its most unselfish sense, as well as ethics, respect, and altruism, should guide every thought and every action. These values are essential to ensure a safe and healthy evolutionary process, a lesson that humanity has to put in practice if it is to avoid the risk of terrible self-destruction.
According to the space visitors, their main task was to make sure humanity would not use its nuclear arsenal and to help our evolutionary progress, trying to push us to a higher level of understanding, even sharing some of our suffering in the process. In confirmation of Benjamin Krem's insistence that the space visitors are utterly harmless, the author Stefano Breccia, who had some encounters of his own, says in the documentary based on Samosisi's account, "They said they were incapable of causing harm to anyone. Even their devices, which were consciously impregnated with a sense of ethics and morality, would refuse to harm anyone. Indeed, they said if they weren't able to avoid hurting someone, then in that case they would self-destruct." Over the years, the people who have had experiences with the Space Brothers grew in number and included people from all walks of life. Some rather well-known in Italian society, such as university professors, a television journalist, a famous painter, as well as the Italian consul, Alberto Perigro, who had his first sighting of a UFO over St. Peter's Basilica in Rome in December 1953. While Bruno Samosisi refers to the space people as the W56, the number 56 referring to the year when the contact started, and W being V for victory, double V for victory, I beg your pardon, they referred to themselves as Orcri. Interestingly, Orcri in one form or another, is a fairly familiar occurrence in terrestrial languages. In Sanskrit, it means sages. In Egyptian, deities. And the Greek form means people in high places. Akri is spelt A-K-R-I-J. A similar word in Arabic translates to group of friends.
Apart from many details of the space people's advanced technology, knowledge and their control of natural laws, reminiscent of the abilities of great avatars like Sai Baba and senior disciples like Madame Blavatsky, a striking feature of this case is the similarity with George Adamski's Get Acquainted program, or GAP. While an in-depth look at Adamski's mission shows that the coming of the UFOs is not an event in itself, but is happening in support of the awakening of humanity to the spiritual realities of life and the return to the everyday world of the elder brothers of our spiritual hierarchy, the friendship case provides ample evidence that Adamski's GAP was not an isolated attempt, but part of a worldwide effort by the Space Brothers. Introducing GAP to his supporters around the world in 1957, Adamski wrote, "The idea is that the citizens of each nation, through these efforts, will grow into closer united friendship with their countrymen, without discrimination or divisions of any kind. In time, it is hoped that these national efforts will overflow into worldwide understanding and friendship." Prakia's book documents that the friendship efforts were not limited to Italy, but that similar projects were going on in Germany, Switzerland, France, Spain, South America, and elsewhere. One of the main protagonists in Germany contacted Prakia after hearing about his plans to publish the story of Bruno Samashisha and his friends, and the writer added the information from his German contact to his book. Unfortunately, over the years, discord arose among the Italian friends and the group eventually broke up, just as the 17 GAP chapters around the world withered with the passing of George Adamski. However, the documentary concludes that the real essence of the experience was the immense example of love, dedication, and respect that the space people impressed in the hearts of eyewitnesses that are still alive. As Gisbare de Lama, one of Amakisia's participants, says, "They enrich me. They put me into contact with an almost impossible world full of love. The presence of the Space Brothers and the return of the masters of our Elder Brothers, however, not only furnish proof but also guarantees that such a world is possible. We only need to take their lessons to heart and put them into practice."
In his story, Bruno Samashisha relates how the Space Brothers were able to use any transistor radio to relay their messages. Many of these were recorded, and one of the messages from a Space Brother, referred to as Sigia, is played in the video documentary about the Amasisia case. "Dear friends, dear sons, do not doubt us, as none of us will waver. Stay united, united, united. Endure your mutual weaknesses while struggling to improve your humanity and your friendship towards us. Our world is hard for you to understand, dear friends. This is natural. However, with affection and trust, you can be close to our hearts, which are always open towards you, and understand us more. We embrace you with warm affection and sincere friendship. Yours, Sigia."
We'll continue with an article which is sourced from the January 2012 edition of Share International magazine and is a review by Carmen Font of Gerard Artson's book, Here to Help, UFO and the Space Brothers. If we were to choose one single word that could define the nature and research undertaken by scientists and writers in the field of extraterrestrial studies in the last 70 years, that word would probably be disclosure. Indeed, disclosing the facts behind so many alleged UFO sightings, sifting the fake contacts from the genuine ones, and providing arguments for or against the extraterrestrial presence on Earth has largely occupied the time, the energy, and the minds of UFO researchers and even government institutions.
A myriad of contactees have claimed to have received messages from extraterrestrial sources. most of which go beyond an admonitory tone to spawn fear and trepidation about the future. In view of this scenario, it is no wonder that an ever-increasing number of people who would otherwise accept the possibility of extraterrestrial visits on Earth are mystified or at a loss as to the meaning and significance of these contacts. What is the purpose of such visits? And if extraterrestrial are hostile beings, as portrayed by some contactees and in Hollywood films, why are governments more concerned with concealing the information which could actually help humanity? Dutch writer and Gerard Artsen demonstrates in his recently published book, Here to Help, that the key to understanding extraterrestrial contacts on Earth goes merely beyond the disclosure of data about their sightings and concentrates instead on the disclosure of their mission. Despite the fact that no number of sightings seems sufficient to counter the general disbelief in the reality of space people, which has been generated by disinformation from governments since the 1950s, Artsen argues in an engaging tone that extraterrestrial discussion is no longer focused on whether they exist or not, or under what circumstances they have been sighted. Rather, the discussion is now moving into the true significance and meaning of these visitations.
As Artsen himself made abundantly clear in his first book about this subject, George Adamski, A Hero for the Space Brothers, the masses of information available on extraterrestrial contacts reveal to us the inescapable fact of their presence. But we will never comprehend the scope of their mission and purpose, nor fully engage cooperatively with the Space Brothers, if we persist in acting as if we were the only inhabitants of our solar system, or if we allow fear and conspiracy theories to condition our response to extraterrestrial visitors. Here to Help tackles these two questions in a clear and convincing manner. The messages of our Space Brothers correspond with the best interest for humanity, since they urge us to care for the ecological well-being of our planet and to address the man-made imbalances in our society that create conditions of rampant injustice and greed. They come to help us to help our planet. The motives behind this help is not haphazard. In fact, they are in tune with the ageless wisdom teachings and are provided in accordance with the laws of karma for this planet and with the knowledge and cooperation of our planetary hierarchy. Throughout the book, among many other sources, the author draws from unique information on this subject from Benjamin Krem and Share International.
Here to Help similarly illustrates for the reader the background of these wise and eternal teachings which posit the evolution of consciousness as the purpose of life here, and this may come as a surprise, though not for readers of Share International, elsewhere in the universe. The wisdom is given expression in most religious traditions as the golden rule or the law of harmlessness, and this is a great law adhered to by the Space Brothers and our own spiritual hierarchy. Here to Help devotes two chapters to unravelling with hard data and primary documentary sources the mechanics and motivations behind the disinformation campaign, which have obscured the genuine revelations of the Space Brothers and fostered an atmosphere of conspiracy. Artsen balances this comprehensive report of what has gone wrong in our approach to so-called alien visitations with a revealing account of the activities of early contactees from around the world. Most importantly, Here to Help highlights the common elements of these messages which emerge in full force now at a time of greatest need.
There is nothing banal or evangelical about the messages from space advocating, as they do, socio-economic changes which would end the division that separate those who live in opulence from those who starve unnecessarily. Before government institutions began to scare the public about the alleged evil nature of UFOs, many contactees were receiving information which is as relevant today.
And that's the end of our program. Thank you very much for listening. Go well, everybody. Love and light.